Raya Breakfast Show. And so today is World Nature Conservation Day, and we are shining a spotlight on how protecting nature is key to building a stronger, more resilient South Sudan. And so our discussion this morning is centered on protecting nature, securing futures that will explore actually the country's conservation efforts, the role of the communities, and the importance of partnerships in safeguarding our environment. Today we are joined by Colonel Charles Laku from the Ministry of Wildlife Conservation and Tourism. He's a spokesperson. Welcome to the Mirai this morning.
Thank you, Jacob.
We also have with us Massimo Scolavi, Escalo Birada from the European Union. Welcome to Radio Mirai.
Thank you very much.
And yes, Ray Hoth, the Executive Director of ICD and National Conservation NGO. Welcome to Radio Mirai once again.
Thank you for having me.
And we have as well Dorothy Smith, the Country Representative of the African Parks. Welcome to Radio Mirai.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's go right away to our discussion. Let me start with Massimo. I mean, what does the World Nature Conservation Day mean to the EU, and why is it so significant or important to recognize in South Sudan?
Thank you for the question. For us, the Conservation Day is really an opportunity to raise awareness about the need to protect natural resources and biodiversity. Because, as you know, nature is not unlimited, and we must use natural resources wisely. The free riding on nature is not really an option anymore. So, because people, human beings, rely on nature and clean water, for food, health. So, for this reason, the conservation is our core principle for the EU development policies. So, this kind of question, the conservation, is a sort of mainstreaming that crossing multiple different EU policies in different areas, for example, agriculture, fishery, land management, climate, but also economic development. And this subject, I just recall that some years ago, the European Union adopted a very global strategy that is called the Green Deal, that is overarching, is an overarching strategy that embeds conservation into economic and climate policies. So for this reason, for the European Union, conservation is essential for a stable, inclusive and sustainable future. Why for South Sudan is important? Because South Sudan, more than other countries, is a population from South Sudan rely on natural resources for their life, for the food, for example, for livelihood, for food security, but also for income. And as you know, in South Sudan, we have many conflict that are the causes of this conflict is about management natural resources. So through conservation of natural resources, we can also prevent conflict and promote peace between people, peace building. So, at the end, I would like to say that conservation is not just a question about animals or forests. It's a question to ensure a future for our people, future for next generation. And this, everyone can help to build a better future. Thank you.
Thank you. From that point, let me go to Colonel Charles Laku from the National Ministry of Wildlife and Conservation. Why do you think this day is important for the government of South Sudan, and how is today's event part of your commitment?
Thank you, Madam, for your question. I appreciate hearing about the importance of wildlife in the Republic of South Sudan. This day is very significant and indicates that the Ministry of Wildlife and Tourism is part of the global community in conserving nature and natural resources. So this day is a day of creating awareness about the importance of wildlife. Many people misconcept the word conservation. Conservation simply means wise use. Mm-hmm. It does not prevent people from using, but wise use of natural resources.
Right.
So on this day, we want to aware the people that these resources are for us, but we need to use them very wisely so that it can last for generations and generations. And also, it's an indication that we don't work alone. Mm. We work with international partners to help us conserve this resource. And through the international partners, we can cover areas that the ministry on its own cannot be able to cover. So we can see that we have friends and partners from the international community who partnered with us to conserve this resource.
Thank you. Yeah, let me go to Smith now to let us understand, I mean, what ecosystems, talking about the gains from the ecosystems particularly have been achieved in Boma and also Badingilo National Parks over the past years, particularly for the wildlife corridors.
Thank you, Jacob. In the last 27 months, I think we've made quite a few gains, especially on that data and information part, establishing relationships and really getting to know the landscape. And this included, you know, two aerial surveys now, one in 2023 and one just concluded in May, and we're working on this report for this flight that was over 112,000 square kilometers. So what we do is we fly the landscape in transects and we basically, you know, count. The project then, you know, included a lot of photographic assistance this year. So we were very, and this afternoon at the event at Firetree that people are very, you know, much invited to attend, we're going to have a spotlight on technology in monitoring. So that for us is a big gain, because to make real decisions for biodiversity conservation, the interaction with community and their gains in sustainable livelihoods really comes from data and information where you can make real, lasting decisions. Mm-hmm. And that also identifies these critical hotspots that we call the ecologically critical areas. We have set up quite a few forward operating bases in this landscape where we can be, you know, working from to really sustain the operations throughout this landscape between Boma and Badingilo as well.
Right. And with the technologies you have just spoke about it, what transformations have you seen in South Sudan's Great Nile migration landscape?
I think, what this data is telling us is that there really is, there's an inverse relation between population and wildlife movement, right? Mm. So even if you look at the migration on a map, and we know the migration in South Sudan is four different antelope species, the data is telling us, and there are now international maps published on the Tiang and the White-Eared Cob, it shows us that they move in different patterns. As we always say, you know, animals don't have passports, you know, they cross borders, they move as they want. And we see that, you know, as there are big roads being built, as people are settling, you know, animals move around it. So it's all about really recognizing how development, you know, impacts wildlife and wildlife impacts development, vice versa, and really have a conversation with communities and informing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, really acting on these partnerships that I'm personally so thankful for. Mm. This is not the first time that we're sitting in this studio, you know, in partnership and really talking about conservation. So it's really important to really recognize what is going on the ground, having partnerships, discussing it, and then really finding lasting solutions, you know. And this is only through partnerships. This is only through regular conversation and dialogue that's rooted in the facts and the science.
Okay, let us bring in Roy into this discussion. Earlier today, we had an African proverb about how we can save the natural resources we have in South Sudan for future generations. So what are the biggest threats facing nature in South Sudan, and what does your organization do to protect these bigger threats?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and asking that question. And I'm glad that it started with the African proverb.
Yes. What is the proverb?
And I hope it's also translated into the several languages
that we have
in South Sudan, such as everyone get to know the African proverbs.
Yes.
Of course, our lives depend on what we say. Nature and conservation is one, almost one, the same word that we're just using. And nature is everything that thrives here.
Yeah.
And in South Sudan, we seem to be removing ourselves from the equation of nature itself, when human beings are part and parcel of nature. The biggest threat in this country, for example, the first one, although we have the Wildlife Service Act 2003 that was amended in 2022, that is only in English language. Mm. It is not in other local languages. Mm. We do not have a wildlife bill. We do not have a law that protects nature in this country. We don't even have an environmental law at the moment. So we do not have the laws that should guide individuals and communities' action. The other thing is the dissemination part of it isn't there in this country, where we know we speak over 64 languages, and not everyone understands English. So even if we have the laws in place, we have the regulations in place, and people don't get to understand what that means, it means it doesn't exist. These laws are supposed to support the ongoing effort that the local communities make. The waste disposal. Look here in Juba. How can we talk of nature when during rain, that is when all the plastic bag, all the rubbish are thrown into the stream and that flows into River Nile? And you know, from central Equatoria going down, the land is kind of sloppy. Mm. By the time it reaches Bor, it's a flat land. Mm. So in that case, all the plastic and all the plastics, all the waste that we throw here, as they always say, what flows upstream flows downstream. It just reaches through the marshes and flows out. So when it flows out, it kills all the aquatic life. It kills the wild animals. They don't know what this is. For example, maybe a giraffe or an elephant, while browsing, will take the plastic bag together with the grass and swallows it. Mm. And it gets into intestines and kills it. And then we say, our wildlife are disappearing.
Yet we
are the contributors. Yes. We are the main contributors to this. If you look at the fishing methods that are being used in this country, there are no regulations that regulate the type of fish kills, the type of fishing nets that are supposed to be used on our land here for fishing. Mm. So fishermen, the traditional fishing system, you just go out there and fish. So that means whatever you catch and you don't need, you throw it away and that's a waste. Sometimes they don't throw it back into the water for the other fishes and other aquatic life to feed on. Mm. They throw it maybe on the land and where it goes to waste. Mm. So there are a lot of several other issues. The protracted conflict is a big threat to nature here, where the government itself is incapacitated by mobility, logistic. The government is not in position to reach everywhere where our nature is. So the cutting down of trees, which sometimes we've been blaming the community, the traditional community, the local communities, but that is their livelihood. That's where they depend on. Because the protracted conflict has now made them not to produce.
Right.
So they end up cutting down charcoal, killing wild animals in order to subsidize their food.
Right. Now, this question goes to all our guests, and I will start from Mr. Massimo. The question is, how is the government is collaborating together with partners like African Parks, EU, and including your organization to protect the ecosystem and to empower our communities in South Sudan? Are you working closely with the government, and what are you working exactly on?
Okay, thank you for the question. Yes, we are working with the government for the conservation at different level. We are co-chairing the Natural Resources Group management with the Ministry of Agriculture and five other ministries. Mm. So this meeting gathered the different ministries to discuss about sustainable management of natural resources. So this is the first level, and we have been working since many months on the preparation of the strategy. For a strategy, for a national strategy that should frame the natural resources management. Another level that we are working with is with the donors. We have also a natural resources donor management group. So we are meeting regularly to discuss about issue about natural resources management and to try to coordinate our action, supporting the country to conserve, to protect the natural resources. And I think that I would like to just to recall is the fact that the country, despite not having enough resources, is protecting more than 15% of this land. And this not is a really significant effort that a country is doing. And for this reason, donors, European Union, is supporting also this effort through, for example, African park networks and other park other partners working with with the authorities to protect to for the conservation of natural resources in protected area.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back for more after the headline. Thank you.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people. Uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace.
Right, good morning and welcome back to this edition of the show. And moving on with our conversation, we should be winding up in a very short while. And let me come back, before we come back to Colonel Charles, to Roy, we'll talk about partnership between your organization and the government, and then we will come back to Smith later on. I mean, tell us more about your partnership in terms of protection of nature.
Thank you. We are getting, ACD is getting support and has been getting support from Wildlife Conservation Network through Save the Elephant. Save the Elephant is an international NGO that is based in Kenya, and they are giving us funding to, through the Elephant Crisis Fund, to protect and conserve the elephant at Zirafa and Fanyika and Game Reserve. We are also getting working in partnership and support of Save Giraffe Now and the Lion Recovery Fund, as Lion Recovery Fund and Save the Elephant are implementing agencies of Wildlife Conservation Network. As you can hear the names, they are kind of specific to a certain wild animals.
Yes.
So Lion Recovery Fund for lions.
Yes.
Save the Giraffe
for giraffe.
For giraffe. Elephant Crisis Fund for elephants. So you ask yourself, what about the others?
Mm.
So this is how complicated it is. But because we're working with the community directly, we are like we now have 156 community wildlife ambassadors who are community members whom we train and impart that advocacy knowledge, not only to protect these specific wild animals, but usually to protect the habitat.
Mm.
Our key concern is protecting the habitat, advocating against bush burning.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the partners we work with in terms of getting direct support. Here in South Sudan, we work in coordination and communication with the African Park, with the Ministry of Wildlife Conservation and Tourism, Fauna and Flora, then the plus several other NGOs that are in peace building, because we believe it's a nexus. You cannot do conservation alone.
Yes.
You need livelihood and you need peace. Otherwise, where there is no peace, there would be no livelihood. And where there is, these two are missing, you cannot talk of conservation, and that's why it is very difficult in South Sudan.
Right.
Yeah, Dorette, as well, talk to us about the relations between the African parks and the government.
Yeah, just on Friday, we presented our long-term strategy to the park board. And on our park board are three members of the ministry. And now that the longer-term strategy has been presented, we will have subsequent presentations on this long-term strategy. I am really happy that a platform between the government and UNMIS and other stakeholders, but the principals are the government and UNMIS, the Friends of Conservation, has been revitalized. We are actually having our next or second platform in the first week of August, and it's going to be on wildlife management, natural resources. So I'm really looking forward to that. So it's all about creating spaces on different levels where people can interact on a regular basis. I think I cannot agree with Ree more about this interaction with community and having that partnership as well. That is a lasting partnership. That's where it starts.
All right.
Unless there's livelihoods, there will be, you know, no lasting, you know, solutions. Just like Ree said.
All right, thank you. Colonel Charles, I mean, how do you work jointly together with the partners, the ACD, the African parks, and even the European Union in terms of the protection of these species?
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. As a government, we deal with the regulatory part of the operations of the NGOs who are supporting us. And of course, they cannot do much without our approvals and our support. So we work in consultation with one another, and they fill gaps, we identify gaps that we as government cannot be able to do, then they will do it. Like, for example, the aerial surveys. We don't have the necessary logistics that we can do as government. So we involve our partners to do the animal collaring, the scientific analysis of the genetic makeup of those animals. You know, we don't have that ability. So we involve our partners to do what we are not able to do. But we are the government sector tasked with the conservation of wildlife and natural resources in this country.
And what message do you have for the public?
Okay, I have this message. The theme for this Nature Conservation Day 2025 is urgent need for biodiversity protection, restoring degraded ecosystem, and promoting global cooperation to ensure a sustainable future. So how do we sustain that future? For me, I am asking for mindset change for all the people of the Republic of South Sudan, people who are living here. For example, today we are commemorating the World Nature Day. Let each person plant at least a tree for this day, beginning with us who are here in the studio. We go out there, plant a tree, and care for it. I also want to appeal to the faith-based organizations, the faith communities, whether if they are baptizing a child, it should be commemorated with the planting of a tree. If they are burying a dead body, those loved ones should come and plant a tree. And in 10 years, Jacob, I assure you, the whole of South Sudan will be evergreen. So my appeal is that conserving nature is a collective responsibility.
All right.
It is for all of us to protect the nature because we belong to it.
Thank you. Thank you. We should be, we are already time bad. Yes, let me come back to Massimo. Maybe in less than 30 seconds, please, your last message.
My last message, I retake the word of the Colonel Charles, if I may, to say that it's not... people are not part of the problem, is a part of the solution, because conservation, we have to make conservation, we have to ensure the natural resources management, sustainable natural resources management with people, and people have to be committed and involved. And for this reason, we have to raise awareness of people, and again, young people in particular, because this is about the future, their future, our future.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Massimo. Yes, Ruey, also in less than 30 seconds, your last message.
Thank you. In less than 30 seconds, nature and wildlife conservation is not a responsibility of government alone. It's not a responsibility of NGOs. It's not a responsibility of donors coming from abroad. It's everyone's responsibility. Those coming from abroad and staying in South Sudan have a responsibility to protect and conserve environment. Planting a tree is a necessity. And also, being mindful of not throwing paper bin. You know, on the road, you can see a vehicle just winding down the mirror and throwing a plastic bottle. The Muxuli habitat as well. You don't just have to throw a bottle on the road. And you think, who is going to collect it? And where it is going to land? It will kill the grass. It will kill the worm that is under, the heartworm that is below. So conservation and environment, just as it is in our Article 41 of our Constitution, is a responsibility of every individual.
Thank you. Dorothy, yes, your last remark in less than 30 seconds, yes.
At African Parks, we say this is the decade to make a difference for biodiversity on the continent. As you know, we are in 13 countries and 23 parks. This is the decade to make a difference. It starts with us. It's about partnerships. And I'll just finish. In South Sudan, we really want this land mammal migration, the biggest on the planet, to remain the heartbeat of this landscape.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Colonel Charles. And thank you so much, Massimo, for joining us this morning. Shall I love you some more times again on Radio Miraya? Let's wind up here and have a very good day.